fetch a bale of water, and Jill came down with another man. Jack stood up and frowned, shook his head, and he sighed. I guess that's just the way that I am. 'Cause there's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, dear Liza. A hole in the bucket, my love. A hole in the bucket, dear Liza, dear Liza. There's a hole in the bucket of love.
WMFO in Medford. We only have one CD player today, which that was the Rusted Bucket Band, Dear Liza. And usually hear my music bed going, but we had to use the CD player. We won't be using it for a little while. Let me get that CD out, and so I feel normal. Here.
Whatever gets you there, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm almost with you, Rusted Bucket. It's loading. There we go. So, yeah, using CD2. Remember that? All right, that's better. Rusted Bucket Band is here before me. Well, just a couple, couple of them.
Yeah, we've got my friend Fred Bement here, regular harmonica player, and I call him the spirit animal of the group oftentimes. And I'm Russell Turnquist. Thanks for having us on again, Brian.
No problem.
A pleasure to be here.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
What do you have for us today?
Well, we... you know, we started out as a band. So the first time you had me on was, I think, right after we did the first track. Like, we had just done the first track or two on that record. And you'll see that the title of the record, it's our debut album. It's called Better Late Than Never, Better Never Late.
Great title.
Because we started it, what, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that.
Yeah,
and then and we just released it in May, right? And so I think, yeah, the first time you had us on, I think we had just done a track or two off of it. And then you had us on again right after I had my son. So that was part of the delays. Two of us had kids along the way in the band, which is awesome.
I'll keep you busy.
But yeah, it's like your album's your baby, and then you're like, no, this is a real human you have to keep alive. That actually, and they're all expensive. Recording music, as you know, professionally and
children.
Children, yeah. So then we came on, me and Noel Maltzberger was with me that day, playing guitar.
Okay.
That was right after I had my son. He was a couple months old. And so the bulk of the record was done then, but we kind of pressed pause, and there was another song or two that I wrote that I wanted on the record. One of those songs is Tim Geeran ended up playing on it, which was a total honor because I really wanted Tim on there if he'd be willing to do it. So the last guest instrumental on the whole record ended up being our friend Tim Geeran on a song I wrote for my son called To Be Born. And then we were lucky enough to release it at... Atwoods this last May, May 2nd.
Oh, cool.
And I'm really happy with how the, you know, the graphic design. You people in Radio Land can't see it right now, but...
it's a dog on a barber chair?
Yeah, that's the Sausalito Barbershop in Caledonia Street in Sausalito, California. The photo was taken in 2011, thereabouts, by my friend Shelby Diamond, who now lives in Italy, professional photographer.
Did the dog get a haircut?
Oh, many times, many times. I think she went bald by the time we were done hanging out. No, that's actually my dog, Shasta, when she was about 3.5 years old. And
cute.
She made it through seeing the album released and just left us at the age of 12. But we had a great run together.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the back of the album there is a little, what do you call those? Fred would know them. What's this? When they make the... The silhouette.
Yeah, that's a silhouette.
It's a silhouette. Is that what it is?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. So my son's mother Kelly made me that silhouette necklace of my son for our first Christmas. So
beautiful.
Yeah. So that's the outside, and then the inside is, you know, the liner notes and all the musician attributions. Because we took 5+ years in fits and starts. It and I co-produced it, which was probably a bad idea in terms of efficiency, but it ended up involving a lot of really special people, guests on the album.
Guests like who?
Well, I mentioned Tim Geeran played guitar on that song I wrote for my son, which is track 9, To Be Born. We have Tom West on about 60% of the keys of Peter Wolf acclaim and the Savtones. We have the Ballroom Thieves, Callan Perkins, Devin Mouch and Martin Early are on there. Lawrence Scudder on viola, Dana Price on fiddle. Jared Salvatore also does keys on a number of tracks. Paul Allstrand on Barry saxophone. Timmy Lewandowski, who's not really a guest because he's kind of on the live gigs when we have trombone. Mike McLaughlin on sax. I'm missing people. Who else is on there?
It's all on the back of the album.
Well, it's all right there. I know. Honestly, we should count this. It's almost embarrassing, except I'm happy with how it came out.
Well, yeah, say hi to these people.
Okay. Well, all right. Let's just do it this way. How about this? So no one's confused if you end up getting the CD, which I know a lot of you don't use CD players, but, you know, good coffee coaster. But it's just for...
They're essential for me.
For the artwork is really... Because I couldn't...
I like to hold something.
Amy Kucharik did this graphic design work, so let's give her a nice nod. She did a great job.
Yeah, great job.
So if you go down the musicians... So I'm Russell Turnquist and Greg Desimone right at the top. Greg's the drummer, has been since day one. We founded the band together. Dan Bissix is our core bassist, backing vox. He has 3 kids and lives in New Hampshire, so you don't see him on every gig, but he's kind of core four. Dave Wessner plays bass and backing vox on a little bit. He was the engineer and co-producer with me on the record. Allie Piccarello was our original bassist. She's on two of the songs, the first and the last. Tony Savarino was our lead guitar player for about 2.5 years.
He was on. He's been on the show.
Of course. He's on the scene. Everyone knows the Sav. So he's on about 60%, 70% of the lead guitar work. Ken Kalasian was our lead guitar player at the beginning of the record, and then it ended up coming back around as our lead guitar player on the end of the record, and he's now
so
on the
long.
Gigs. Mentioned Tim Guerin. Oh, yeah, there you go. Rory Cloud and Maria Kulis. Two of my dear friends from back when I lived in San Francisco. They're on tracks 1 and 11, backing vox and Rory's guitar. Here we go. I forgot. Jake Bush, accordion and backing vox. Eric White of Spotted Tiger and Brothers McCann. He's on backing vox. And then we had Janae Halstead on backing vox.
Maybe you should have called this the Chinese controversy, too.
I remembered everyone else. That was it? Okay, yeah. So, I don't know. How many people is that, Fred? 26?
Something like that, yeah.
This is...
I don't know how to carry the two.
It's basically every musician in Camberville.
That's not true. Although there was a song we recorded in the process of doing the record. We did a special song for the Furlanis down in Mashpee. Susan and Mama Sue and Papa Richie. And on that one, we had a bunch of those same people and Tom Bianchi and Danielle Moralia. So at that point, it did almost feel like we had everyone.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, I really tried to pay everyone market value if you came and played on the record.
Oh, wow.
Some of these people did favor. I mean, there were people on here that said, look, you know, I mean, do you a favor, whatever. But I wanted everyone to get compensated.
That's nice.
So I would have invited more, but, you know.
That's a lot of money.
You ran out of money.
I always run out of money.
Tell me about it.
Caviar taste and spam salary, right?
That's me.
Yeah. And it's 9 originals, and then there's 2 songs that are our take on, well, one of them's under public domain because it's, you know, in the Library of Congress, whatever, part of the kind of traditional song list. The other one, Fare Thee Well, a.k.a. Dink Song. I think technically that's a Dylan tune.
What would you like to do? Do a couple live?
Yeah, we can play some songs. You don't want to listen to me all day.
Do one off of this, do a couple more live, and then end with another one.
I love it.
Sound good?
I love it.
All right, it's the Rusted Bucket Band on 91.5 WMFO.
D. Yeah. All right, this is one of the trad songs, or the trad song on there. Called James Alley Blues.
I'll get rid of that for you.
We could have changed the key and just played right along to it. I'm a big Wilco fan, so I don't mind some of the, you know, the funky.
Right.
The times ain't now, nothing like they used to be. Nothing like they used to be. Lord, I'm telling you the truth. Won't you take my words from me? Well, I was born in the country, so she thinks I'm easy. To wagon and drive me like a mule. Well, so I bought her the groceries and I paid the rent. Well, yeah, I bought her the groceries and I tried to pay the rent. She want me to wash her clothes, but I got good and camel sense. Yeah, you want me to love you, then you just keep treating me mean. Yeah, I want you to love me, but then I just keep treating you mean.
my daily thought. He's my nightly dream.
Is it right?
Sugar, all you take is salt for salt. I give you sugar for sugar, honey. All you take is salt for salt. And if you can't get along with me, well, that's your own damn fault. Now, sometimes I think you're just too sweet to die. Well, sometimes I think you're just too sweet to die. And other times I think you ought to be buried alive.
Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice. I like your voice, too. It's reminding me of Cat Stevens a little.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. I'll take that comment any day of the
yeah.
week.
Yeah, very cool.
And twice on Sunday. No, it's funny. Yeah, Cat Stevens, when I was first learning guitar as a younger man, adolescent, I suppose, I don't know. My guitar teacher, this guy Ron Tyler. I feel like you and Ron could have been cousins, Brian. It's that you got that rock and roll thing. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was a really cool cat. And he would teach me the Berklee Method 1 book. You know, so you have to like learn to sight read and all this stuff. But he would also make sure I take home a song at the end of each thing. It's kind of like a reward, right? So he'd teach you the song, and then if you learned how to do the reading lines and the song next week, you got a new song. And if you didn't, right?
Keep working on it.
Right. But he would always give me songs like Beatles, Cat Stevens, a children's song like Dear Liza, but not that one. But, you know, it was an eclectic mix. And then, you know, and then if I learned those songs well, this is just an interesting way to learn guitar as a kid, I thought.
It sounds kind of fun.
It was cool. He made it fun. Yeah. Right. He made it fun. And if I did a good job each month, I could bring in a cassette tape and we would listen and learn a radio song. I'm 40, so this back that, you know, when I was a kid, cassettes and the double day and the, you know, the radio.
Been there.
But recording your show or whatever, you know. So
the breaking of the tape and using the pencil.
Yeah, the pencil to wind it. Yeah. And so then what was interesting, that so I'd bring in songs, you know, what's popular in the 90s, whatever it was, right? You know? Mm-hmm. And I'd bring it in, and then he would be like, this music. He'd be like, go home and buy Bella Fleck and the Flecktones and come talk to me next week. You know, it was stuff like that. And so I actually literally have to say, like, most of the stuff that shaped my musical influences over time really started with him planting these seeds, and then like the Columbia Record House Company, like 12 CDs for 1 cent or whatever. Because you could just
that no one
get them, no one paid it. Yeah, I think that was probably like the first blemish on my credit report, but I don't think they got to mine. I don't know. Anyway, I'm talking too much. Fred, what do you want to say? How you doing?
Hi, Fred.
I am the teller to your pen. Just keep talking.
Oh no. Where's Greg when you need him? Usually I have Greg.
He's silent Bob.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah. Usually I have Greg behind me on a drum kit, not with a microphone, but he's got a nice loud voice, so he can just, you know, quiet me down when I'm rambling on about silly things. So, but yeah, Cat Stevens was one of the one of those people to circle back. See, I might have the ADHD thing, but I always remember the threads eventually.
Right,
I can come back to it. So,
you did fine.
Yeah, we could. Do you want to? We can play covers, right? That aren't in the trad spec. Do you want to do a Cat Stevens song?
Sure,
I'd love to hear one.
If my son's not napping, he might be listening with his mom. So this one will go out to my son.
And what key is this in? L?
I think it's in G. And I think my dad's out there listening too. So this is dedicated to both my daddy and my son.
Oh, yeah. Father and son.
It's not time to make a change. Just sit back and take it easy. They're all still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can have it. Look at me, I'm old, but I'm happy. And I was once like you are now. And I know it ain't easy to be calm when you found something's going on. Well, take your time, think a lot. Think of everything you got. You will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. How can I try to explain when I do it times again? It's always been the same, same story. From the moment I talked, I was on a lesson now. There's a way, and I know that I have to go away. It's not time to make that change. Just sit back and take it slowly. You're still young, it's not your fault. There's so much you have to go through. And you can still find that girl now. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I'm old, but I'm learning to be happy. And sometimes I cry at night for thinking all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree. But it's them they know, not me now. There's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
Well, thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me of Cat Stevens.
Well, I knew you could do it.
It's funny, actually, the other day I ran into some friends in the Arlington Diner, and I had my kid with me, and I was with his son's mom, and my son's mom, and the friends were there, and I had met them at a backyard barbecue where I was playing music one time, and I was telling the guy a story about how when my son was just born, I brought him home and I was playing vinyl records for me. It was like 2 days old. You know, his mom's taking a nap, and I had. But I forgot my own story, and I was saying how I was like, oh, yeah, like, you know, remember I played him the Cat Stevens stuff, and he kind of, like, looks confused for a minute, and then Kelly turns to me, and she's like, it wasn't Cat Stevens, it was Jim Croce. And I was like, oh, you're right.
Similar.
Right.
I used to get them mixed up when I was a kid.
Right. But it's true, right before he was born, through a good year into his life, I was in a total Jim Croce kick. I mean,
you want to do a Jim Croce song?
No, I don't. No. We're here to talk about my right. I mean, we can play, you know.
If you could do Cat Stevens, you could probably do Jim Croce.
I probably could pull it off. I'd have to dig back. I mean, I definitely know Bad Boy Lee Bird Brown. Ron taught me that one when I was a kid. But, you know, really the operator would be the one to do.
Yeah, operator's beautiful.
You can't beat operator. Yeah. I mean, that's just...
It's just the story, you know. Like,
I
love the storytelling.
Yeah, he's unreal, or was. I mean, he's passed on.
Yeah. Was he a plane crash?
He was. Yeah he was leaving. His musical trajectory was an interesting deal, because I think he was 30 when he died. He was about that. But he was a recent dad. He has a son who's a musician, who's, I think, my age now. But he was back out on tour. He was getting good market success, right? So he had the label, and they're trying to push him on tour. But he's still doing kind of that college circuit.
Yeah.
But he had the small charter plane stuff. But he had written his... This is tragic. Like, I could tear myself up right now. But he wrote his wife a letter and mailed it back to their farmhouse. They bought a farmhouse, I think, in Pennsylvania or somewhere. They had met in Philly back in the day. And he had written her a letter from the road saying, this last run of shows is it. I'm stepping off, and I just want to write, like, not even music. I just want to write. Like, he was also, you know, write poet and stuff. And I just want to live on the farmhouse with you and the kid and write. So don't worry. When I'm off tour, I'm home with you guys just to be full-time dad.
Wow.
And then she got the letter like 3 days after the plane crash. I mean, it's like unbelievable, you know. But as that pertains to, like, the way I think about this, because I was just having a conversation with my friend Joe Packard over at the Rehearsal Space Complex at the Sound Museum, and his friend Jim, we were kind of running a couple songs, just impromptu jams, and they were asking me about this record I had released, and, you know, what's your plan with gigging, and do you want to get out and tour and stuff, and that's the thing, right, is so, like, my philosophy on this record, and in general playing music and what it means, is I think it's important to create the art for the process of creating the art. And then if you do it and you're pleased with the outcome, then you can let it out of the box, right?
Right.
After that, I feel like it's important to share it, because you don't want to hide that stuff away. Like,
no.
So you should make the time to say, Brian, I'm going to come by if you'll have me, you know, and do this and that. And if you had budget, hire someone to do all that other stuff that, you know, a lot of us can't do on our own or afford to do. But so for the art, the sake of the art being shared is kind of how I view this stuff. And when people receive it well and they like it and they get excited about it, that's awesome. That's totally great. And if they don't, that's okay. But when they do get excited about it and they're like, well, what's the plan? And why don't you go do this or that and that and this? Then, like, fatigue sets in for me, because I think about, you know, if I don't see my kid for like 4 or 5 days, just how much they grow, you know?
Right.
And the big thing with the music business these days is, unless you're road dogging it or getting your songs put in some movie or licensed through whatever, you know, you're making money off gigs, you know, pretty much. And we like gigging. Mm-hmm. We do like gigging.
I love gigging, but you guys are making money on it.
That depends, Brian. That depends on the gig.
What's your definition of making money?
I mean, you're talking about like a burger comp and about gas money home for the.
That's about it.
I mean, I someone's making money on every gig. I make sure someone's making money. You know, hopefully, but yeah, no. But we're really lucky, to be honest with you, to having not released a record for the majority of our performing life as a band. We've had the opportunity to play at great venues alongside great bands, and
so there you are getting paid if you're opening up for some pretty big names.
Or? I wouldn't say, I mean, you know, I've opened up for like Will Evans of Barefoot Truth and co-billed with some other folks that a lot of that was a while ago. You know, a lot of it, because it, well, there's kind of two ways to approach it, as you know. You can kind of do that whole thing where you're trying to get the room warm for a bigger name. And that's honestly a more logical kind of strategic play if you want to get a broader popularity thing. Mm-hmm. For me, early on, we were having some of the opportunity to do that, either me as a solo artist or us as kind of a fledgling band, but I wanted the unit to get tighter. So when all of a sudden I could take like a Saturday at the Plow, because Jim's theory is like just have the whole night, yeah, I just want to play, you know, 3 hours of music with my guys all night to tighten up. And so that became my booking focus. And then I'd say probably the biggest failing I've had, no, I won't say it's the biggest failing I've had. I would say if I had spent more time booking a broader circle, that would have been beneficial. And that's okay. I mean, we can do it now. It's easier with a record out, you
right,
know?
Right.
But as Fred knows, we often talk about this stuff. I'm kind of like, I'm not alone in this as an artist, obviously, but,
sure,
you know, booking the shows is like the least favorite part for me. It's just like, I'm trying to
get gigs right now, man.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. It's like, so I was always kind of it's like, oh, I know you at Bulls and I knew you at the Plow. You know, it's like, and randomly run into you. Hey, do you want this? Yeah. And that's how a lot of my gigs get booked. You know, it's like, so, Fred, do you want to take over booking all the band shows and become the marketing director? I think we'll do so much better with you at the helm.
No.
Okay, great. I thought if I asked him on air, maybe.
Yeah, put him in the spot.
At least now.
He wasn't going for it.
Yeah, it's been recorded, so it's, you know, there for
oh, it's on file. Yeah, so that, our next golf outing, I can't ask that again.
No.
But to Fred's credit, actually, a lot of the gigs, like we ended up releasing the record at Atwoods on May 2nd. Which has been one of my favorite places to go see live music since I came back from California, and that's where I met Tim and his whole band, and Fred made the intro to Randy formally, you know, over there. So, and similarly, Fred introduced me to the Bulls guys, and I think Plow guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so most of the gigs, I'd say 50% of the gigs, the venue gigs, probably actually came from Fred supporting us, so we're real lucky. So informally, he's done a lot of that footwork for us, so...
Very nice.
Yeah.
What comes around goes around.
You're right. Try to be good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What do you want to do? Do you want to hear another live one? You want to throw one off the record?
Whatever you want to do.
How are we doing on time? Right? Am I eating our whole show?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. tell me. What are you feeling?
Well,
it's your show.
I'd like to hear you play another one.
I just noticed your shirt. I'm not going to play this song, but...
Nice.
He's wearing a Pixie shirt.
Oh, I thought you were going to really do that.
I could.
I forgot I was wearing a Pixie shirt.
I mean, I could play that song.
Yeah, do it.
All right, hold on. There's the one. There's that one chain.
Do it, and then I'll play a couple songs off
your album. If I whiff it, though?
Yeah.
I can whiff it?
Yeah, then.
Frank doesn't listen to your show?
Right.
Isn't he in the Pixies?
Oh, Frank Black.
All right, this is by request to the host here, so... I almost feel like covering this song is almost like a little bit of a cliche, but I also am okay with cliches, so...
Yeah.
And it's a great song. See if I can do that falsetto.
With your feet in the air, your head on the ground, we'll try this trick and spin it. Your head will collapse. There's nothing in it. You'll ask yourself, where is my mind? Where is my mind? Where is my mind? again. I was swimming in the Caribbean. Except a little fish said, it's time to talk to me. Oh, I think it's a corkscrew. Where is my man? Where is my man? Where is my mind?
Fantastic, Russell.
I don't know.
Well, that sounded pretty close. Good stuff.
It was something.
It was great. Really was. You know, a cool thing about the Pixies and being from Boston.
Yeah.
You know, I got into the grunge thing in the early 90s. And, you know, everyone was like, Kurt Cobain started grunge and all this. And I heard him on an interview go, we're just trying to sound like the Pixies.
Pixies.
Yeah, there you go. Grunge started in Boston.
Seriously? Yeah, and it's funny because just a couple, I honestly think like, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with the Middle East. But like, if you think about a lot of those bands back in the 80s, like what was that whole marketing ploy? The Boston sound? Or do you remember this, Fred? What was it?
There was the Boston sound or something
Boss
like that.
Boston sound, yeah. And it was like this whole record pitch of
in
like
the 80s. I was
and it
in
just
high
flopped
school,
though. So. No, but it flopped, and a lot of those cats were basically grunge, pre-grunge.
Type. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Slightly different, but it's just funny because if that had done better, Boston could have been known as like you know the yeah. Aberdeen Seattle whole thing.
People weren't ready for it.
They weren't ready. No.
You know, and Kurt Cobain did it just, you know, when everyone was sick of Guns N' Roses. And
yeah. Well, the whole glam rock thing was the perfect setup for the grunge.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was perfect. It was, like, just so ridiculous, and then it was kind of like, you know, this.
I like 70s glam, though.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing wrong with glam rock, yeah. Especially the 70s whole thing,
you know?
But, no. Like I said, there. If the art's getting you feeling something, there's nothing wrong with it, whatever genre or avenue it's coming down, right?
What do you want to hear off the album?
What do you want to do, Fred? What do you think? We played Dear Liza off the record, and then we did our cover of the Trad song on there. What do we've got time for? How many are we going to pull off that record?
Why don't we do one, another one.
Okay.
And another one.
Great.
After we say bye.
Great. Can I look at the back of that record real quick? Just because I can't remember.
So two more off that.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do track 5, which is On We Go, and then we'll end the record. Yeah, I know what to do. Okay.
You'll tell me later.
So On We Go, this is a song that Ken Kalasian and I wrote together, and so the two co-writes, Tony Severino's Dear Liza with me earlier, and then Ken's On We Go are what we've covering here now.
Okay, ready? What?
On We Go, I think it's 5.
All right. Here we go, The Rusted Bucket on MFO. This is from their album Better Late Than Never, Better Never Late on MFO.
Capturing thee. Time don't stand still.
sweet stuff there.
Thank you very much.
Let me get your mics up.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, that was that one really turned out to be a lot of fun. That song was actually in the first basic tracks of that song, that kind of train groove on the drums, and the rhythm guitars were a byproduct of the very first sessions we did on the record, and then it got shelved for a really long time. And right before we finished the record, I reached out to Ken Collision, and I said, you know, I wouldn't feel right releasing this record if we didn't go finish that song. So that was one of the reasons why we ended up for a final round of songs in there to do that song. And I love that it's on the record. And
yeah, I'm glad you did it.
That's some Jimmy Page type guitar solo work.
It was. I was trying to think of who it reminded me of. And yeah, it was pagey.
Yeah, a little pagey, you know. And I love the contrast to how it's just kind of this little driving train groove kind of whatever song, and then all of a sudden you have this just punch your face in guitar solo. Yeah, so you want us to play another one live here off the record?
Yeah.
This is gonna be a live acoustic take of the first song on there, which is called Last Chance. And part of the reason it's better to do it as a live take in the studio is the record version is like 7 minutes and 12 seconds long, because we did a whole epilogue or prologue on the song with the Ballroom Thieves, which is 90 seconds of just an instrumental with them. And I liked it so much, I just said to Westner, I said, I was going to split it into two tracks.
Yeah.
Right? Just to make it easier for people if they wanted to play it on the radio. It's 5 minutes long versus like seven, whatever.
Right.
And he said, it's your record, do whatever you want. Open with a 7 minute song.
Yeah.
Okay. You know. So we'll do it live. It will end up being more like 4 minutes and 30 seconds. How about that? Brian's going home late tonight. He's giving me too much time. All right, here's Last Chance.
Chance for real. This is the last chance for my love. This is the last chance, a last chance for real. This is the last chance for my love. And I miss you. You were so sweet to me. A professional, but you were a kind and deep. I asked you, but then you kiss me. Yeah. as me to look right in your eyes. And you told me, last chance, a last chance for it. But this is a last chance, my love. But this is a last chance. With a heavy heart, I tell you, my darling girl, I should try my best. This is a last chance, my love. Oh, this is a last chance. With a heavy heart, I promise, my darling love, I'll see you on the other side.
Sweet.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us. You can find the CD online, CD Baby, Russ the Bucket Band. You can find us on Facebook, Russ the Bucket
plug
Music.
Plug everything you got right
got
now.
Got a website, RussTheBucketMusic.com. And,
any gigs coming up?
We do have gigs coming up. We're playing Aeronaut Brewery with the Ways and Means Committee when, I don't remember, I'm blanking. It's a little ways off because I took a pause on gigs because I'm working on an acoustic record with Tyler James Kelly of the Silks, outside of the band project. So I kind of paused the winter and then we're picking up in the early spring on gigs. And exciting news that Fred doesn't know either, but I'm building out a studio for us to record the next record, and it just started happening. But
I'll be right over.
I shouldn't have told that on air, but Wesner and Dave already know.
We're going to be recording again soon. Maybe we'll crash it.
Hey, I say bring it on, man. Come on by. It's going to be pretty cool. But yeah, so we're gonna get back to gigging more regularly in the spring, and hopefully heavily by the summer, so we can really hit the ground running late summer on our sophomore effort, which, as you always know, is the true test if you have anything to offer. And I guess we're going to do one more off the record to close out this segment, right?
Yes.
Is that true?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
The songs sound beautiful. And
appreciate it, man. Thanks, Fred, for joining me.
Always a pleasure.
Keep doing what you're doing. Stick around. We'll take a picture, okay?
I'd love it. Thank you.
We'll do a selfie.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right. So where am I? CD 2. Track 10.
Three South.
Fire.